I was resisting in the beginning, and that was making it worse. That was making it harder. And the second I'm like, I'm going to let go, it was like bliss. It was pure bliss.
What is up, my fellow dreamers and soul searchers? Welcome to the Roxy Talks Manifestation Podcast, your raw, unfiltered, and unapologetic source for all things manifestation related. I'm Roxy Lee, and for the last decade, I have been researching and developing my signature 360 method, which combines behavioral science, quantum physics, and the law of attraction to help you manifest a life beyond your wildest dreams. Visit RoxyTalks.com for more info. Now, let's get into it. What is up, my fellow dreamers and soul searchers? Welcome to another special episode of the Roxy Talks podcast, where we have a very special guest, Miss Yolanda Boyarin, who is a badass business owner. You're out here making like multiple, I don't know. Last time I checked, it was like, I made 90K. I made this. It was like all these numbers are going through. I'm like, damn, she's doing it. And you have such a cool story. I know that we were just talking on the, before we started recording, and it was already getting so juicy. I was like, no, I can't hear another second of it. Record and get this live. So you were telling me that you consciously manifested this lifestyle. So let's back up a little bit. Let's give everybody a little, you know, how are you? Who are we talking to? Give us the tea of where you are now and kind of where you started from, so that we can then, when we hear this manifestation story, it makes even more.
Yeah. More, you know, I used to tell this story all the time. So it's like funny to start telling it again, because I haven't told it in a while. First of all, hello, I'm Yolanda. I'm excited to be here. I actually built my entire brand on manifestation. My brand is Manifest Mad Money. Yeah. And where it all started for me was, I have an uncle who consciously manifested a $42 million lottery win.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
amazing.
I know, right? Like, everybody's like, oh, your uncle won the lottery. And then when I say the amount, they're like, holy shit.
Yes. Like, that's a win.
That's a win. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and this was so many years ago. I was 17 when this happened. I'm about to turn 40. So this was a long time ago, right? So back then, 42 million, I mean, right, 42 right. million is still a lot of money, but like now I see it hitting like $1 billion on the lottery. So, you know, this was back when like billions were not possible in the lottery. So, okay. So what I noticed when he won the lottery is he had always talked about it. I can remember since I was 4 and 5 years old, my uncle saying, I'm going to manifest the lottery one day. And he would walk my cousins and I through exercises with him. And he was somebody who was very well read, very like into science, history, all of the things. So he was always reading about the power of the mind and, you know, just going deep. And so I remember this one time, I think I was 5, we were on the baseball field. I was a total tomboy, still kind of am, but I had nothing but boy cousins. We were out on the baseball field, and all of a sudden, these two little boys drive by, or they come on the field with their go-kart, and none of our families could afford anything like this. Like back in the 80s, like that was like, your family was rolling in it, you know? So my uncle saw how distracted we got and kind of disappointed, right? Because we were all like, man, I wish I could have that. And so he started with the, I'm going to manifest the lottery one day, and I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to buy this. Tell me what you want me to buy you. Yeah. And he would take us through these visualizations, and he would have us, you know, like, what does it look like? What does it sound like? What, like, he was incorporating all of the senses. And I thought it was really cool when I was young. And then as I got older, it got really embarrassing, because we would go to the restaurant, have lunch, have dinner, and then he would get drunk and talk to the waitress and say, I'm going to manifest the lottery. And I was like, oh my God, like, my uncle is drunk. People think he's crazy. Oh, and it happened. It happened when I turned 17. The interesting thing is, I was actually really close to my uncle, because he had none of his own kids. And so he always like hung out with my cousins and I, took us to museums, all of that. And so I actually got pregnant at the age of 16. Now, I had my son shortly after I turned 17, and he was not speaking to me because he was so disappointed in me. Oh. And so one day I get a, I think it was a call or a text, I don't remember. And he said, "Hey, I want to come visit you and your son. Is that okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course." And when he got there, he was like, just apologizing. You know, he was like, "I was just disappointed, but like, I want to be there for you." And the next day, like after we made up, the next day is when I got the call, but he was drinking. So I was like, can't be real. Like, you're lying. You're drunk. And then my other uncle grabbed the phone and was like, no, $42 million. So I was 17. I was broke as a joke. I was a brand new mom. I lived in low income apartments. And like, I had no clue of like how I was going to create this life. And I just realized there's something here. He's been saying this for years. There's something here. So that was, yeah, that was the kickstart to my entire journey.
That is so cool. That is, I mean, to be able to have that modeled to you at such a young age and just instilled in you and to grow up. Obviously, we all have our feelings when we hit teenage years. We all do what we do, right? But like, for the most part, your entire life, you have just instinctively known and been guided toward this power that exists for all of us. And I love that. So when did you decide to start? So at like 17, is that when you decided to start?
Yeah.
In your life?
Yeah. So I realized, okay, like there's gotta be something to this, right? Like he's always been talking about this. And so I started kind of learning about manifestation myself and the power of the mind. And then of course, then The Secret came out a couple years later and I watched that. And so I really started consciously creating. And when I say consciously creating, that looked like me going to open houses of like $1 million homes and literally pretending like I was going to buy. Like I would literally talk to the real estate agent like I had the money in my pocket there. I would be there like, my bed would look good here. This would look good here. People used to think I was crazy. And then I remember a Range Rover being my dream car. I would go to the Range Rover dealership and like pick out like, okay, I want this one with this interior. And then I would go to like Louis Vuitton and Chanel and I'd be like trying on the bags, knowing damn well I couldn't afford anything at that time, but I was putting myself in the vision. Wow. And that's when things really started happening. Like I bought my first house at the age of 21 and 6 months prior, I had started getting really intentional about the house. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to buy a house. Like there would, if you saw, like I used to make maybe, I want to say like maybe $200 a week working at a hair salon at one point. Like it was not, I was not rolling in the dough. So it, when I look back at my journey, none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense.
That is, you know what? Honestly, hearing you say that, I have to say, this is the thing that every time I talk to somebody who is like a multimillionaire or on their way to it, the thing that they really harp on is it can't make sense. Because if you try to make sense of it, guess where you're going to fucking end up? With sense in your like you're going to have sense in your hand.
Yeah.
It's like this world's not logical. And if you use logic to future pace your life, you're going to go really fucking slow compared to, you know, obviously how fast things can go.
Yeah. One of the things I know you talk about a lot, which is kind of how I lived my life, is you talk about being delulu, being totally delusional. And I'm like, yeah, like nobody could tell me nothing. Nobody can still tell. Like, yes. I remember.
Yes, that is me too.
My brother is 14 years older than me. And so his wife, you know, they're older than me. When I turned 18, his wife looked at me and said, "Yolanda, you act like you deserve to be on someone's yacht. Like you deserve to be some guy's trophy wife on their yacht." And I looked at her and I said, "No, I act like I deserve to be on my own fucking yacht."
Ooh. Wow.
And I remember working in a hair salon. And again, you know, back then I was trying to build and establish myself and it just was, I just realized it was not my thing. And And I remember one of the guys, like, we were like talking about our goals. And I said, well, I'm going to be a millionaire one day. And he looked at me and he goes, why don't you pick something realistic? And I said, I'm sorry, that's not realistic for you, but it is very realistic for me.
Wow. That is so funny. I love this, because I have that same thing too. Like, when I tell the story about when I was building my business, or like, I should say the year before, kind of like the year of building it, I was working for my friend who has her own business, and we were on a business trip, and I'm sitting around this table with other entrepreneurs and other business owners, because her business, it's a B2B thing. So we're working with other people that are promoting themselves. She works in TV. So I'd be sitting at these tables and they're like, Roxy, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm a producer. She gave me a title of producer because she's my friend, but like, I'm just there like hanging out. And I was taking behind the scenes pictures, but I'm this, and I do this, and I have my YouTube channel. But I'd be sitting there thinking like, you guys have no fucking idea who I am. You have no fucking clue who I am right now. You have no idea who you're sitting with. And you just like, you just don't even know. And I just was like you said, you can't tell me shit. I'm still that way.
So yeah,
just manifesting, because like, I'm like that with myself too. I'm like, oh no. Oh, that's what you think it is? I don't fucking think so. When I notice that there's something that's there or that's in the way, like, I'm on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, I love that. And that's the thing, is like, working with the brain. So I do definitely think that there is this delusional aspect, right? Because you have to feel it. You have to feel like it's mine, no matter what. But I also, I feel like if people understood the power of the brain and the process that the brain is actually going through, mm-hmm. then the logic that we're all looking for, right, then begins to make sense. So what I mean by that is your unconscious mind is processing 2.6 million bits per second, 2.6 million bits of information per second versus your conscious mind at 147 bits per second.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a huge difference. So then what happens is there's so much information coming in your subconscious, your unconscious, that it's having to delete certain information, distort information, and generalize information, right? But from that, and that's how we have different lenses. That's how we have different perspectives on things. So you can have a crime happen and two people get interviewed by the police, but they have a different story, and it's because their lens is very different of what took place. And so we really have to start programming our brains of finding the evidence of why it's possible, and which is why we have things like expanders. You know what I mean? So it's like, when you understand how the brain is processing that information, it actually makes it very logical, because everybody's like, manifestation isn't real. But then when you look at the science of the brain, it's very, very real.
Yeah. I'm super into the science talk, because I'm a very logical, I mean, well, I don't come off as logical and rational, but I am. And I was an atheist before all of this. Like, so to dedicate my life to this, like, this shit has to be real. Like, I'm not the kind of person that is just going to go like fluffing through. Like, I'm a determined bitch. I'm going to get what I want. And like, when I understood this information, there was something deep within me that's like, you have to tell other people. Like, mm-hmm. This has to be spread far and wide. And so that's why I'm doing what I do, you know, because it's everybody needs to know this information, but also this is really happening and this is how Earth works. And either get on board or don't, but you're going to be creating your reality. So you might as well learn how to select the best quality thought to stay in that mindset. Like you said, using the brain, using the science of what's happening. And I love when you were talking about, because, okay, so let me just side note. I look a lot at like the universal side of it. I'm realizing I don't really look at the brain side of it. Mm-hmm. I've never really even thought about. That's why I like lit up when you were talking about the processing power. I'm like, whoa, this is new stuff. I hadn't even like, I'm not even considering like our end of the bargain. I'm thinking about the, you know, what the universe is doing out there to replenish and stuff. So
yeah.
I love this. I would love to hear more about, you know, what you know about the science within us that is doing that.
One of the easiest ways to explain this is because, you know, I know that you also talk about the quantum realm, like manifesting in the quantum realm, like quantum physics, right? And so I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand what that means. And so scientists and doctors have actually confirmed that when a woman conceives and a child is in the womb, the heart does not actually form until 10 weeks into the womb. So there's no heart. It's just a fetus. However, if they use a sonogram, they have discovered that in the place where the heart is going to be, so before it's even there, before it takes shape, there are beats in the fluid that go to the beat of the heartbeat. So what scientists have then said is just the mere fact that the heart is going to be there. The heart already appears in the quantum realm before it appears in the 3D. So that in itself, the vibration of that then shows up in the 3D through just little waves. So when we think about, like, you know, how many times have you heard people say, like, I'm manifesting this thing and it's not happening. It's not happening, right? One, we have to look at, okay, what lessons do, in my opinion, that's what I always look at. Like, what lesson do I need to learn in order to be able to hold space for that? How strong does my belief need to grow in order for me to receive that? And then we also have to look at the power that we are consistently putting in. Now, let's say your belief is at a level 1 out of 10. Now, consistently at a level 1, that's going to take a little bit more time for that to show up in the 3D, right? Versus, like, if your belief is at a level 6 or a 7, like, that's going to move the energy even faster. So that's one of the things that I really like to break down for people. And, you know, in my business, I talk a lot about sales and marketing from the perspective of the power of the mind, because, again, it all ties into, what are we programming the quantum realm to reflect in our 3D, right? So it's like one of my favorite sayings is we prefer familiar hells over unknown heavens. And that's where people get stuck in when they're manifesting, when they're consciously creating, because they're like, it's too hard. It's not here yet. It's not happening, right? And they lose their patience.
I love it. I love having these conversations. This is what I think about and what I talk about all the time. So I really appreciate your perspective and your knowledge. And looking at your brand and your business, and I know you work a lot with psychology and you're helping people understand the underlying drives and you know, what's going on under the surface that is causing people to move and to act and to buy and things like that. And it's just really cool to, for me, I love undercurrents. I love understanding. I have a degree in behavioral science because I'm always fascinated by, like, people's motives and why they do things. And I find it so interesting to know, like, what's going on under the surface. And when you are allowing yourself to use that, like you said, that what was like 100 megabytes or something, or versus
147 consciously, 147 bits per second versus 2.6 million bits per second.
Wow.
So that's where, like, when we think about, I'm a brain nerd just like you. Like, I'm fascinated by human behavior. And I tend to find that in people like us that are, like, into manifestation, into all of that, is like, we're like, give me the why, right? I want to talk about this. This wasn't what I was originally going to say about that, but it made me think of this. Scientists, and this shows up when you're selling, and people don't understand that. So if you have a business online, if you're manifesting a new career, a business, whatever, like, this ties into that. Scientists have taken couples and they'll put them in a restaurant environment, and they will put one couple in the middle of the restaurant and have them talking to each other the whole night, right? Meanwhile, you're surrounded by all these other tables of couples having their own conversation. So again, going back to the unconscious mind, 2.6 million bits per second. Now, consciously, you're into your own conversation. That's what you're paying attention to. But what they've done is they've then hypnotized the couple in the middle of the restaurant, and they will ask them, recall the conversation from the couple on the left of you. Recall the conversation from the couple on the right of you. Recall the conversation. And they can literally say what each person was saying, which again is just mind blowing.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so cool. I totally nerd out on this shit. I want to ask you a question because I get a lot of my information from the quantum realm. Literally, I meditate every single day. It is a big part of my day for an hour. And I'm just in there, just getting information and like clearing blocks and talking to energies and talking to God and doing all those things. I'm curious, do you have a meditation practice or like what do you do to tap into that underlying stuff?
So sometimes I meditate, but I'm going to be honest, like it's not my favorite thing to do. Wait, what's your energy type on human design?
I'm a projector.
Okay, that's why. So for me, I'm a manifesting generator. So I'm like, go, 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 right? Mm-hmm. So for me, when I really tap in, like I microdose I don't want to say every day. I have a protocol that I microdose on. Mm-hmm. So that really helps me tap in, as mm-hmm. well as, you know, I participate in ayahuasca ceremonies, bufo, all of the plant medicine. But even like a simple journaling practice for me is like really what allows me to get all of those ideas and thoughts. And that's another thing that I teach my clients is when we start journaling, it's probably the same for you for meditation. It's just a different form for me to do it in. When we start journaling, we first start out with the very superficial stuff. And mm-hmm. then the longer we go, we actually wind up in a hypnotic state, mm-hmm. which then what I have my clients do is I'll have them listen to a little bit of meditation music while they're journaling. And I just tell them, just start off. Don't worry about what you're going to say, what you're going to write. And then they'll wind up finishing the music 30 minutes later. And they're like, wait a minute, where did the time go? And then I'm like, okay, now go back and read what you wrote. And they're like, I don't remember writing any of this down. So it truly, for me, it's like a hypnotic state of like tapping in versus meditation just feels really hard for me.
Oh, that's so fun. You know, it definitely can be. I am so fucking gung-ho about it because it's changed my life so drastically, but I had to really commit to it, mm-hmm. To see so much change to where it's like, I won't skip a day forever again for the rest of my life. Because, wow. I mean, imagine going to your ideal reality. Imagine going to, I sometimes tell people it's like the Google search bar. Literally anything that you can think of or any questions you want, they'll tell you anything I've asked about the Big Bang. I'm like, what was before the Big Bang? What was before that? Why did it start? How is this? What is this? Why is there one? Why is there one creator? Why is there one source? What is all that? And they've shown me so many different things, so many different universes, just the amount of experiences I've had in meditation. I couldn't quantify with words. Talking to God, talking to Mark Zuckerberg, Whitney Houston, Beyonce, like, I mean, literally anybody that you can think of. Bruce Lee, you should talk to Bruce. Actually, Bruce Lee just told me to have you call him. Sorry. Woo. Sorry. Oh, that was weird. Okay, you should go talk to Bruce. Bruce is really, really amazing to talk to. His energy is so calm and he's very much like water. Like, I feel like that was kind of his thing while he was here. But he always talks to me about being like water and what energies of water to take on. Sometimes when it's raining, he's like,
yeah,
or another time, he's like, be still. And it's so I just, as soon as that came up, I got a weird thing coming up. So I think that you maybe just go in and tap in and call in his energy and see what he says, because I feel like he's really great for business owners because he offers this, as weird as this, it's like a lotus in the mud. Mm-hmm. That's what he shows me. So it's like all this that you got to go through to create this pearl.
Yeah. And you know, another thing is water is cleansing, right? Like it's a fresh start. Like last year, my house flooded and everybody was like, you know, are you losing your shit? And I'm like, I just look at it as the universe saying like, it's time to cleanse. It's time to cleanse.
Whole house cleansed for me at once.
Yeah.
That happened to me too. It was crazy. I was on a coaching call, and for some reason I kept giving this analogy. What do you do when your basement floods? My fucking basement flooded 48 hours later.
Shut up.
And I was at a wedding out of town. So my little sister was staying here, and we, you know, it was the night of the wedding. So we were like drunk and our phones were like on vibrate and we were passed out. Nobody could get a hold of us. Oh, none of our family was in town because they were all at the wedding. And so my sister had to like call the fire department. It was this big old thing.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
Holy shit. Like, don't watch your words.
Yes.
You
know what I mean? Yes.
Like, watch what you are doing, because even when, if you're passionate and you are like on it and you're not like offering resistance, oh, she's ready. She's ready for the flood. She's ready for that next step, whatever it is. I'm curious to wonder what your energy might have been like before.
Before what? The flood? Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Okay. So it happened January 2023, and 2022 was like not my year. My energy was frantic. It was all over the place. I had come from like so many changes in my life and my business. And 2022, it was like just trying to find my footing. So January, what's crazy is I actually had a shaman in Colombia. We did a, he works with the Mayan calendar. And so we did this ritual, this cleanse on camera. Like he was there in Colombia showing me all the things as they were burning. And, you know, he reads the energies as it's all burning, as it's all, and he was like, different things are coming. And it was like right before, like I had this, or no, the flood, wait, I'm trying to remember. Oh no, the flood happened before that. And I talked to him about that and he goes, oh yeah. He was like, everything needed to be cleansed, everything. So it sucked, right? Because like, then I was displaced from my home for so long. I live in a condo. So, I mean, I was displaced for half the year, but it being back here, the energy is completely different. My energy is completely different. It's ground, like you said, like things are taking off. And I firmly believe the same thing as you, watch your words. I kept saying like, universe, remove what needs to be removed in order for me to hit my next level. Wow. And you said you've noticed it too. Like everybody's noticing it. They're like, Yolanda, your income is skyrocketing. Your business is skyrocketing. Like everything is skyrocketing. And it's like, yep, I needed to go through that.
Wow. And it's so, you know, it's funny because when we hear these stories, I think people get, they're like, well, I don't want to have to go through a flood. I don't want to have to, but I also think that it doesn't have to get that bad if you listen early. You know what I mean?
Like that's the thing.
It escalates.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that we tend to consciously, well, unconsciously sometimes ignore the mm-hmm. things that are being told because we don't want to be uncomfortable. And so it's that temporary discomfort that we're always avoiding. And, you know, I actually have a story about this with ayahuasca. So I've sat with ayahuasca 20 times now. I've done numerous, you know, mushrooms, all the things. I had a very big trauma in my life as a kid, sexual trauma. And so anytime I go, now when I say 20 times, I mean, like we usually do two or three ceremonies in a weekend, right? So like I'm counting each ceremony that we do. So this past year in 2023, after the flood, I had taken a break from ayahuasca for 2 years. I was like, I need a break. I need to, you know, I'm kind of out of my healing phase. And then I came back to it last year after the flood. So after the flood, my shaman, he's from Colombia. I don't trust just anybody in that space because it's, you know, it's kind of crazy. But I wound up flying out to Utah for one of his ceremonies. Now, typically I have someone with me, like a friend or a family member. Like we usually do it together, you know? And I had this feeling, crazy thing, never happened to me before. You believe in omens, right? Do you?
I mean, I definitely believe in connection.
Okay. So yeah. Here's what was happening. The night or two nights before I flew out to the ceremony, I'm sleeping in my bed and all of a sudden a roach crawls on my arm. Yeah. I have never had this happen. Don't see them in my house. Like this is not normal, right? So I freak out. It's in the middle of the night. I'm sleeping. I freak out. And when I wake up, I look up the meaning of it. And it was basically like, big transformation is coming. Now, my very first ayahuasca ceremony, I almost left because we were doing it outside, and I sat my mat down and a roach climbed over my mat. And I was like, oh, no, I don't know if I can do this. And my life completely changed that night too. So going into the ceremony, I knew this is going to be huge for me. This is going to be huge. And I wound up having the most profound ceremony I've ever had. I was going to tell you something about this and it fled, but I wound up releasing so much stuff. And I didn't realize that I had been holding on to, like, I need to be strong. I need to be this. I need to, even during the ceremony, like, people were, I was by the fire trying to transmute energy. And I was like, people are staring, be calm. And then all of a sudden, like, I went into a private room and I like started screaming and crying, like all the stuff coming out. Well, then I went back in August to another ceremony in Dallas. And all of a sudden, the first night, I got the message that everything was going to change for me. I got the messages in there that things needed to fall away, but that good things were going to come. And for a while, I was resisting that. I was holding on to old, you know, relationships as far as friendships and, you know, old clients that needed to be cleared, like holding on to all of the things that were no longer serving me until it fucking hit. And then you're like, oh, that was messy. And if I would have listened before, then it wouldn't have been so messy.
Right. It's, you know, it's so weird. They're giving me the weirdest analogy. I get a lot of weird analogies, by the way. My channel is like super slippery and open all the time. So like, they just like send me all the shit all the time. I saw somebody clipping nails and it's like, if you just clip one nail at a time, just when it gets a little too long, you just clip it versus having to sit down and do, it's a very weird analogy. But like, that's what I'm seeing is like doing them all and having like, forgive me again, the gross things like those trimming. I'm very like princess and the pea. I have so little tolerance for uncomfortability, gross things. But they send me, sometimes they send me really gross visuals to like drive the point home. But you want just the one, just to get the snip, 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 then we're good. Or do you want to sit there and like deal with the whole shebang bang at one time?
Yeah. And I think that's what we resist a majority of the time, right? It's like, and then when we resist and we resist and we resist, then that's when the whole shebang falls apart. And then we're like, shit, you know, like shit.
It's like, I use the analogy, another one they show me is like, you know, when your lotion gets like stopped up and it gets that little plug and then you have to like push really hard and everything
comes
apart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that too, where you just, I also think that there's this thing that they show me where every level has its own boss, like a, you know, like a video game or whatever. And, but there's like a good boss and a bad boss, or there's good bosses and bad bosses for each level. And most people tend to like, they get to the level that they're at and they do all the good stuff. They get all the good stuff off the plate. And good meaning, like, let's say that there's 100 things you need to do to get to master this level before you get to the next. Out of 100, if they were on a spectrum, 50 of them would fall into the side, and then the rest would fall into the positive side, just if you line them up together, if you like ranked them in desirability. So you have the like 50% that's like, okay, yeah, let's do those things. And you have the 50% that's like, fuck no, absolutely not. So I think what people do is they do the 50% that's good. They get those out of the way. And then they spend weeks, months, years, other decades of their lives avoiding the bad boss of that one level.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fork or the plug comes out and then they move over. And then you could be stuck on just a couple levels of your life avoiding these things. And then when they happen, they're not that bad. It's not even that bad.
It's never that bad. It's very much like, I always use ceremony as an example. That's what I was going to say. Okay, so I went to this ceremony in Dallas and all of a sudden, like, the medicine kicked in really hard, really hard. And I thought, like, this is going to be a bad experience. Like, it felt so hard. It felt so scary. And then I had to remind myself. I was like, Yolanda, you are in control and it's safe. You're safe. Just let go. Just let go, right? Like, I'm trying to control it, which is making it worse. It's like, I kept like, I need to be sober. I need to get this medicine out of me. Like, I want control. And then the second, it was like the worst feeling ever. And the second that I said, I surrender because I'm safe. Oh my gosh, let me tell you, the experience turned into the most beautiful experience after that. And it was like, that particular night, I felt nothing but the most magical self-love ever. But I was resisting in the beginning, and that was making it worse. That was making it harder. And the second I'm like, I'm going to let go, it was like bliss. It was pure bliss. And so I often use the example of like kind of what you're saying of like, we're avoiding those things. But when you look back at it, it's like if you climbed like a high mountain, like people who climb Mount Everest, right? Like, it's so hard to get to the top. But when you get to the top, there's like this pride of like, holy shit, I did that. And I think that's the part that we're avoiding because, like you said, we think it's going to be 20 times worse than it is. Mm-hmm. And then when we're on the other side of it, we're like, wait a minute, why was I resisting that so bad?
And like, how often does that happen? And then you immediately forget. The next time it's a challenge, oh God, not that. Not that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it happens often because we're human, you know? It's like, we don't like discomfort. The brain is actually very lazy. The brain does not want extra effort. And so when we are growing through challenges like that, when we're trying something new, when we're, you know, manifesting something new, when we're creating something new, it's unfamiliar territory to the brain, which then it has to think about it. And then so we start resisting it, thinking this is too hard. And then, yeah, we're repeating that same cycle over and over and over.
So what would you say to somebody that's like, I'm repeating this cycle over and over. I just want to be able to boom, 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 go after it, not be fearing, not hold back, not put it on the back burner. What does it take to have that kind of level of courage and what's the word I want to use? Resiliency to keep going and bouncing back.
I love this question because growing up, I was, you know, I'm a little Mexican girl in a small town in Texas. There's seven people living in a two-bedroom house. And, you know, I had no evidence of wealth. Again, teenage mom, low-income apartments. And actually, I just realized it wasn't $200 a week I was making. It was $200 every 2 weeks. So even lower. Mm-hmm. But I say all of that to say that I think where people get this wrong is they're trying to willpower their way to the next level versus realizing that we're trying to create new neural pathways, right? And so when we realize, okay, I can't willpower my way out of my brain's process, but I can work with it. So my way of working with it is then finding evidence of how what I want is possible, how I've already achieved a similar result. So for instance, one of the things that I always talk to with people, especially, you know, we're entrepreneurs. What's the one thing you constantly hear entrepreneurs? How am I going to make that next month? How am I going to do this? How am I going to, like, right? Like, it's always going to like the scarcity of where's my next dollar coming from? And it's because money for us is survival, right? So, but what I really want you to take a look at is, let's frame it in this way. It will never be your last dollar. Even if, worst case scenario, you're homeless, you're living on the streets, it will still never be your last dollar. So I know that's going to the extreme of like, well, I don't want to be homeless living on the streets. Well, of course you don't. But my whole point is your brain is going to the thought that this is going to be my last dollar. I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. I'm not going to be able to buy food. I'm not going to be able to do these things. So you're going into scarcity, holding on to it, thinking maybe success isn't for me. Maybe that thing isn't for me. When in reality, again, you just can't out willpower your brain. You just have to say, hey, even if I'm on the verge of being homeless, I'm going to go work at McDonald's if I have to. I'm going to go, like, there are so many options, but our brain always goes to worst case scenario, which is worst case scenario. We overthink it and think it's like the end of the world.
Mm, definitely. And as you were saying that too, my biggest fear that I always battle up against is losing everything and ending up on the streets. Like, that's exactly the thing that we don't want. And then you'll fear yourself into being on the brink of it or worse. And then the cycle just repeats.
And so you're feeding. So my shaman calls this feeding the fear. So instead of feeding and giving the energy of what you want, you're feeding the fear. And you're like, think about, I don't know if you ever took driver's ed, but when I was younger, we had to. I lived in Georgia for a little bit. We had to. And so one of the things that they always said to us was, when you're driving, if you turn, whichever way you're looking is where you're going to steer your car. And I think of that with manifestation. Whichever way you're looking is where you're steering yourself. So most of us, when we come to like something, that next level that we're trying to create, we are looking at the thing that we don't want and we're trying to walk backwards away from it, keeping our eye on it. Instead, we would get to the place that we do want so much quicker if we turned around and walked straight towards it. But we keep walking backwards, looking at the thing that we don't want.
That's so funny. Being a human is such a trip.
It is.
It's such a wild ride. I'm like, what even is this? But at the same time, why would God create this place? Have you ever read the book? What is it? Is it Bustin' Loose? Oh yeah, Bustin' Loose of the Money Game.
Mm-mm.
I think you would like it. So obviously it's a money book, but it's a quantum physics book. And he talks about, it's basically all of the, you know, the scientific stuff of how things are fulfilled, like I was talking about earlier. But he talks about how Earth is like, you know, amusement park, or it's a game, it's like a movie. And why do we create a movie? Why do we create an amusement park? Why do we create video games? To entertain ourselves, because we can, you know? And so like, why would you create, when I think about suffering and things like that, I think that it exists because of the contrast, right? To show us, but you're not supposed to stay there. And that's why it feels so shitty. Like you were saying, when you're hanging on to the negativity, it feels horrible because you're blocking yourself from the love and the source energy that actually fuels you and propels you. And just really trying to, whatever way you do it, tap into that energy and go toward the positivity, because why would God come here? Why would you come into this body if it wasn't to experience the best of the best that Earth has to offer?
Yeah.
You know, I can't, why else would I come? Knowing me, whoever is the thing that is electrifying this body, that there's a remnant, like the personality that I have has remnants of where I came from, right? And vice versa. Like, I feel like we do definitely affect each other, as obviously as I live, I'm expanding the universe and I'm connecting with that. We're all sharing the collective consciousness, but whatever arc or piece or cell or ray of God that came in to be Roxy has, like, we're channeling, I don't want to say personality traits, but perspectives. And like me, I wouldn't just come here to fucking suffer.
I agree. And you know, so I believe in a higher power too, obviously. And I have a client that, you know, I don't know how you grew up, but I grew up in a strict Catholic home. So like all the stuff that I'm talking about right now is like, I had to hide all that for so long until I was finally like, no, this is me. Like, you know, and I'm not, you know, like whoever, whatever your choice of how you connect with your higher source, higher power, whatever you believe in is up to you. However, I know what that did to me. It limited me in so many different ways, right? And so I had a client recently that was like really kind of having struggles with like wanting more for her life, and then kind of feeling like, I forgot how she said it, but she was kind of saying like her higher power, her God, she felt like picked and choosed.
Mm.
You know, like I'm going to pick and I'm going to choose. And I was like, how would that make sense? Why would that be fair to certain people of like, you're going to be wealthy and you're going to be poor? And you're like, I think that we all have that energy within us to be able to create and choose that, right? And so I don't know, I'm probably running off track from what you're talking about, but like, I kind of feel like it all ties in, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm of the mind that, you know, infinite meaning, like more than we can possibly fathom, possibilities and options. None of them are more expansive, expensive, better, worse than the other. None of them matter. Nobody cares. No one's like letting you in or not. There's no judgment except for you. You're the level of judgment that you're experiencing. And once you understand this information, to me, I'm just like, I don't know how I, as soon as I really understood the gravity of my thoughts and how powerful every moment of life was, this is it. There's nothing else to me that's more important than mastering how to fucking choose reality. Yeah. Because what else is there? While I'm here, this is it.
And how incredible. And when you think back, like, you know, I don't know your childhood or anything, but like when I think back to like my childhood and my past and like things that I'm like, it doesn't make sense. I shouldn't be here. It doesn't make sense. If we're looking at it from a logical perspective, it doesn't make sense. So the only way that I can explain it is that I believed in something bigger and that unfolded through that.
I love that. I love that. I was I was religious adjacent, I would say. But my dad wanted to make sure that I wasn't pushed into any sort of religion. So I was an atheist for a long time. And I remember questioning God when I was like five. I was like, my family was Catholic, like my bigger family. So I'd have to go to church sometimes, like on holidays, and I'd just be sitting there like, are you guys hearing the same shit I'm hearing? You think like you believe it? And I'm 5 years old being like, I don't know, guys. So, and then my dad was also very spiritual. So he would talk to me about all these concepts. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, dad. You know, it's your dad telling you. I'm not, whatever, yeah. Dad. Yeah. So years later, when I had an experience where I was like, I cannot deny that I either predicted this thing or I made it happen. And there's no way that I can logic this. It just broke my whole freaking mind apart. And yeah. I started like, well, maybe there is more to this world. Maybe there is something. And I will say, I just started using the term God like last year, towards the end of last year. I've always said the universe in my business up until a few months ago when God was finally like, are you ready?
You know, that's really interesting because I grew up, again, very Catholic. And my mom, everything that I'm talking about, it was considered to be evil. And so like my family had a really hard time at first with what I came out. And, you know, I got married at the age of 17. And so my husband has always known this side of me. Now, he was atheist for a very long time. And now he just considers himself agnostic. I think that's the term, right? Like he doesn't know what he believes in. He's done ceremonies with me too. But I think my religious upbringing and like certain things that were said to me and all of that, like it makes me resistant to certain words. So God, I use it sometimes. Prayer, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like the word prayer. I will say intention. What is your intention? I won't say the word prayer. So there are certain words that I still have a resistance to, but I'm still connected in my own way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And even before I started using the term God, I'm still talking to the same entity. It's yeah. I also use they a lot. So I'll be like, they show me this, they do that, because it's that collective energy of whatever. I mean, it does boil down to what they showed me. If you're interested of where this all started, was I was like, you know, what was before the Big Bang? And I just kept asking them to take me back. And they said, first they were like, before, what was it? There was nothing before there was. And then
another powerful.
I know, isn't that crazy? There was nothing before there was. Because I'm like, what was before? Before that? Like, my brain needs to understand, how did a seed get planted if there was no soil, if there was no seed? So they said there was nothing before there was, or there was nothing until there was. And then another time they showed me, they said everything is, all there was harmonies. Frequencies. It was just frequencies. It was just frequencies, and it was peace, just existing. And then they said, but peace always sparks curiosity. And so out of the peace of the frequencies that just existed came one, and that's God, that first, and that's why there can only be one source. That's why there isn't two sources. That's why however many universes or whatever there are, it always goes back to that one, because it ultimately it was just frequencies until, you know, when everything's fine and you're like, but now what? That's God. That was the first God. And so that's why we are creative. That's why we are curious. That's why everything that we do that expands our knowledge expands the universe, because that's what it was. It's like the one spark made all these things happen, and then this, and then this, and things continue to flourish. So I just found that interesting. And they said, in order for there to be another one source, this would all have to go away and it would kind of start over, because you can't go back to unless it's gone.
Yeah. Which I kind of think it will be one day. I kind of feel like it will be one day.
What even is one day?
I don't know. if you just look at like evolution, right? Like, well, I mean, who knows? Yeah, maybe it's just continuously evolving. Maybe that's the thing. Like when I think of like all of the iterations of the world, right? Like it went through the Ice Age and it went through this and it went through that. Like, how many times has the world completely changed?
Sorry, go ahead. I don't mean to cut you off. I don't get to talk to anybody about this kind of stuff. One of the things they're saying is because sometimes I think with humans, we're like, why this? Why me? How come? We're trying to find that meaning like we talked about. And they told me one time, they're like, the real answer is it's the reason why, because this is the iteration you're in. There literally is no reason. There's no judgment. It's not a death sentence. It's not because you did anything X, Y, Z or bad. This is the version of the experiment. And you just happen to be one of the thing, like you just grew into the experiment. It just is. That's why, just because this is where you are right now, that's the only reason. There's nothing beyond it.
Yeah.
No, in a negative sense. And then beyond, in a positive sense, you're already everything anyways. So this is just one of the things you get to experience.
Do you believe in past lives?
Yes.
Okay. So I always feel like we're coming into a new iteration, and then we're growing stronger, and then we're learning new lessons, and then we're remembering, right? Like we're remembering lessons. Yeah, yeah. Of what we've gone through before. Like, you know, there are people, I'm sure you meet them all the time too. I was definitely one of those people. Like, I consider myself an old soul. Mm-hmm. I've never been like the girl that, you know, did the same things as people my age. Like, you know, I'm very different. And so I think that comes from, you know, the lives that I've lived in the past. And so I think that we get to experience maybe not each iteration of what the world is going through, but I do feel like we carry the energies from each experience.
They've told me that, because, you know, we're all having our own separate experience. So it's like you're in the realm moving about as you wish, because the realm has been created to a, like we said, near infinite possibility, whatever you can fathom, you can reach. And we're all experiencing it separately, but what you do here leaves ripples in the realm. And so what they showed me was like somebody carving like a name into a tree. They were like, this, like if someone maybe did that in another reality, it could affect the one you're in as well, because it does have ripples across the realm. So like we are affecting things. Obviously we're affecting things on so many different levels, where every moment we live is expanding the universe. It's our own experience, how we see that blade of grass, how we feel when you get like, literally, I don't know, they just show me getting slapped in the face. That's expanding the universe. Not that it's a good thing, but like, what does that feel like? What does it taste like? What is that moment like? What is that? It's, and they tell me again, it's like a singularity. It's sitting in the sun and petting your dog. That's why you're here. It's like hanging out and you hear birds chirping, or you smell like your favorite, whatever. It's like, it's those things. That's why you're here, because God experiences all of it at once, all smells, all sounds, all frequencies, all moments, all everything. It's all the time, everywhere. And Earth is, they told me it's like noise canceling headphones. So you get to have one focus, like instead of, like you said, wherever you're looking is where you're driving, God's looking everywhere. So humanity gets you to pinhole onto one thing at one time. So you can experience one thing, one reality, one moment, one singularity, one now, one human, one, just all of it is like, what is that like on its own? What is that thing?
So powerful. Roxy, are you sure you've never done ayahuasca? Because I feel like we're having conversations of things I experience when I'm on the medicine.
This is why I meditate every day. This is what I'm doing every single day. I'm having these conversations, or I'm talking to my billionaire selves, or I'm talking to Lilith. Lilith is like my bitch. Like she comes out of my left hand. My ideal Roxy comes out of my right hand. Lilith comes out of my left. When I'm ready to tap in, I like call on them and they like slink out of my hands and they give me their energies. And Roxy tells me like where billionaire Roxy's going today, what she's gonna do. Lilith is like, bitch, you're the queen. You need to, This is the energy, like that.
Wait, are you certified in NLP too?
No.
Are you serious? That's an NLP thing. It's called parts integration.
Telling you this stuff, like you, so much stuff comes to me through meditation that I have no base of reference for. And that's why I know it's true and real, because I don't, how would I know the, like,
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that they just tell me lots of things and I just experience it and I go in there and I tap in and I'm getting every fucking information. I'm apparently tripping balls and shit. Like not even realizing it every day, every morning. And this is why I'm always telling people, I'm like, you gotta meditate. It's incredible. It is so incredible and so powerful to be able to harness that energy every day on a Tuesday and walk around and have that thing like waiting
Yeah.
for you.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm going to stick with plant medicine because I don't know. I've tried meditation so many times,
We're
but
gonna
I'll
have to
stick
talk
with
about it.
plant medicine because we're still having the same experiences, it
Right.
sounds like.
Yes, absolutely. But like, yeah, so I, and you know, I've, there's one plant that I would partake in, but like,
Cannabis?
yeah,
Oh, yeah.
I've never done any drugs in my life except for that. So I like would, but I'm like, I'm just turned 40, but I don't know if I want to start. I don't know. It's weird to me.
So here's the thing. I was actually scared of drugs other than weed when I was younger because my brother, who's older than me, told me, well, if you know, people make this stuff in their bathtubs with chemicals and you can die. And so, like, I was
Thank
terrified
God.
of stuff like that, right? And so, I would smoke weed here and there. It's never been my favorite thing. I'll take a gummy here and there. But I don't know, like when you're having a psychedelic experience with like mushrooms or ayahuasca or bufo, or it's a very different experience. It's very, especially mushrooms in ceremony. Like in ceremony, it's completely different versus like recreationally.
I don't even know what Bufo is.
It's basically, okay, so they take the secretion from the Sonoran desert frog because it has DMT in it. So DMT is the thing that is in ayahuasca, right? It's the thing that releases in your brain when you're being born and when you're dying, which is why when you have people that are dying, they like often reference, I'm seeing, and they mention somebody who passed away, right? Because it's the thing that keeps us halfway in the spirit world and halfway here. Like it gives us access to the spirit world. So Bufo is a smokable. It's called 5-MeO DMT, and you smoke it. And so instead of like an ayahuasca journey lasting several hours, Bufo, you're in it for like 5 to 30 minutes. So it's really intense. Most people talk about seeing God in that, being in heaven. My experience, I've done it twice now. My experience has been very different. But your traumas can be released. Like it's just very different. So, yeah.
Yeah, I that's interesting. And I think as you were saying that, I think like I'm getting the impression they're like, don't worry, we're leading you to this without it, because they know how I have my aversion to those things, right? So I definitely, I whatever way like resonates with you and
Yeah.
works with you, get in there and talk and get this information or clear. Or yeah, there are some days in my meditation where I'm like crying, I'm talking to my grandma or my cousin or my dead dog, and I'm just like releasing and it's all the stuff, or I'm uncovering fears, I'm uncovering traumas and past stuff. Other times I'm getting inspiration. Other times I'm just talking to God about random shit. Other times I'm meditating with so and so's energy, or visualizing my own expansion, meditating with my own ideal energy. But it's always just magic, you know?
And I do want to say that, thank you for saying that, as this is a total disclaimer. I do not think that plant medicine is for everybody, 1000%. I do not think, and My feeling is that the medicine calls you. So when I started learning about ayahuasca, honestly, I had no freaking clue what it was. I forgot how I came across it. I think I came across it on a documentary, and like, I still didn't have a lot of facts. I just instantly felt this pull of like, this is for me.
Wow.
And the crazy thing is, a friend and I, right before the pandemic, right before 2020, end of 2019, we were making plans to go to Costa Rica to experience ayahuasca together at Rhythmia. And then the pandemic hit and they closed down. Well, so on my 2020 list of manifestations that I wanted, experiencing ayahuasca that year was on my list. Now, get this. I remember when that happened, I was like, I guess I'm not going to experience ayahuasca this year. That's where the universe was like, joke's on you. You're about to experience it, because it put the right people in front of me that that led me to the person that I trust.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you have to be, again, you have to be really careful in that world. But this person has been, they were born into it. Their grandfather was a shaman. They trained for numerous years. I think everybody nowadays wants to call themselves a shaman, and they don't understand, like, you're really messing with people's psyches, and like, people can die from this, you know? So that was my first experience, was 2020 in the pandemic, when I thought it wasn't going to happen. But again, I feel like it calls you when it's for you.
Yeah. And I think in the same thing with whatever modality that you use, like meditation calls me, and I'm so up everybody's ass about it, but also it's, you know, it does work for me, and yeah, the power of it, to me, is so life-changing. And again, like, I think whatever it is that resonates with you, follow that. That's the whole thing. Follow what calls you. And the more you follow what calls you, the more you're going to be led to the life that you want to lead. And, mm-hmm, you know, doing the things that I like this, you know, what you said about, okay, well, I guess I just, whatever. There's that level of like, okay, I guess it is this, the now not accepting the now as a negative,
mm-hmm,
you know, just like,
Yeah.
It is like, that's it, because it's a past manifestation, or even just as you're saying, that's things moving into your world to give you the best possible experience that you could.
Yeah, like when you think about it, you know, the cosmos affect us so much. It's the magnetism that they put off, and you know, they affect the ocean tides, like the moon affects the ocean tides. So why would it not affect us? We're 70% water, you know. So when I think about this, like eclipse season, mm-hmm, like everything that we are resisting letting go of because we're so scared of what's on the other side. Like, what if I don't get this? What if that, you know, like, I want to put this in the sense of relationships, right? So many women, I mean, men too, stay in relationships when they know it's not serving them. They know this isn't their person, right? And they decide, okay, I'm going to stay here because what if I don't find something better? And so again, they're staying in that familiar hell. Well, then in my opinion, the universe is then during eclipse season, that's the universe saying, no, bitch, it's time to get rid of it. Like, it's time to let it go. And so during eclipse season, people's worlds just get completely rocked and turned around. And that's why people fear the eclipse season. But I'm like, that's the thing that we keep saying, I want this, I want better, I want this, I want this. And then we're so scared to put down what's in front of us.
Mm. Yeah. You know what's so funny? Okay. It's kind of this thing they show me. It's like, if I put this down, if I put down this ball, that kid over there might pick it up and start playing with it. And then what?
Yeah, right? That? Like, it's very much that type of energy.
That's so funny. If I put this one down, then they're going to pick it up and play with it, and I might want it back.
Yeah, exactly. And you never do. You never really do.
You never do. You don't. Because once you move out of a cycle, going back is like,
yeah,
I'd rather not.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think people just ultimately fear who they have to become in order to hold it.
Yeah, because it's the unknown. Mm-hmm. It's taking a leap of faith and worrying, what if there's no net to catch me?
Mm-hmm. And what if there isn't?
Then you'll still figure it out.
Exactly. Are you still going to leap, or are you just going to sit over there and suffer? And the longer you stay in comfortability, I always tell people this, like the comfortable gets really uncomfortable after a while. Like if you're laying in this position, you're all snuggly, and then you wake up and you're everything's all cramped up and stuff. Like you have to move and reposition and go with the flow, literally, because life is always flowing. And if you stop and stay, it's like if you're like standing up against rapids and they're just like slamming into your back and you're refusing to like be taken with them.
Yeah. And you know, I always get so frustrated with people when they say, oh, I'll do it later because this or because that, or I can't do it now because of this. And like my saying is, life is always happening. Life is always happening. It's never going to feel safe. It's never going to feel like now is the time. It's like you make it the time.
Yeah. Right. You make everything. You make the decisions. You draw the line in the sand. You decide that you're going to, you know what, actually, I'm going to do this now. That's why you actually change, is because finally you get fed up enough to move the energy. Or you, like you said, you surrender. Fine, whatever. Just bring me what, okay, fine. All right.
Yeah. It's like, you just have to remind, yeah, it's like, that's my new favorite thing now, is like, Yolanda, you're safe. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. You will always figure out a way.
And, you know, also you always have all those fears that you of, I'm going to lose everything. Every time I've thought I was going to lose everything, it's never happened.
Exactly. Exactly. And then we're really resourceful. We are really resourceful people. You know what I mean? So it's like, again, like, even if this all went away for me today, it's like, I'd just go find a job. I'd just go, you know, like it literally means nothing. We put so much, that was another thing that I got in one of my recent ceremonies, is like, we put so much attachment to labels and things. And I don't mean like labels as in name brands. I mean, like, we're, even if you think about it, like, I'm female, I'm Mexican, I'm like, we put so much attachment to all of these things. And none of it means anything. What does it mean? What truly, what does it mean? It means absolutely nothing. You are a human having an experience, and we're here to have the experience, not to limit ourselves by saying, I'm a this, I'm a that, what if, what if, what if.
Mm-hmm. And to just to piggyback on, not just experience, in my personal opinion, but to enjoy.
Yes.
No, I don't think coming here just to experience is the point. I think that that was many, 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 many iterations of Earth ago. You know what I mean?
I think that, yes, we're here to enjoy, but I also think that people's perception of enjoy, they think that there's no rainy days when there's sunshine. True. You know what I mean? So it's like, we can still, like, when I think of it, like, rainy days. Okay. As a kid, I used to be like, man, I can't go outside and play. But now as an adult, I'm like, oh man, I love rainy days because I get to cuddle on the couch and put the fireplace on. And, you know, it's a different level of enjoyment. There's still enjoyment. There's still an experience, but it's just a different version of it. But I think that's another thing, is we get so attached to the way that it should look.
Mm-hmm. Or the way that it always has.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's that comfortability that we're constantly, it should be like this because it's always been like this.
But then you'll never get anything different.
Exactly. Exactly.
And why else are you here? Why are you listening to manifestation content if you don't want something different? You know you're here for change. And on some level, you have enough drive to seek out the information.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if for those that are just like, that are at the base of like, this is the first time, they don't know what's going on. They're like, what is manifestation? this, just you being here and just you listening shows that you're being taken somewhere. You know, like, mm-hmm. I know I'm super aligned. I'm sure you are too. So anybody that's listening to this, you're coming into like a peak of energies of alignment, because that's where we are. And so when you are listening, you are aligned to your next level or to the thing that you're desiring, because that's the intention that I know I'm setting and the intention that it sounds like you're setting as well.
Yeah. And I also don't believe in coincidences. So if you're here listening to this podcast, there is a reason. Like, that's just how I feel.
It's part of your journey.
Mm-hmm.
Unlocks. I hope, or no, I'm going to intend that this episode unlocks something huge for every single person listening. And you get the message before XYZ does XYZ. I don't even want to put any potentials the atmosphere, but before it gets so fucking dire that you have no choice but to face it, getting into a habit of just facing the things. I created a program at the beginning of the year called Big Bold Moves, because I was like, I want to take people through this idea of like, I'm just going to meet these, if there's like, let's say 10 things per level that I have to solve, 5 quote unquote good, 5 quote unquote bad, let's get the good, let's get the bad, and then let's move. And then let's mm-hmm. get the, and then recalibrate. So I'm holding space for them to handle like the undulation after they throw the boulder in the pond. And then we throw another one. And the consistent, like, throwing the boulder, adjusting to the waves, throw another one, adjust to the waves, throw another one, adjust to the waves, versus throw a boulder, adjust till it's calm. And then you get bored. And then curiosity strikes. Oh, let's throw a fucking boulder. Oh God. But you're not used to it. Because you've been sitting there in calm waters the whole time. And then you're getting sick and you're getting stressed out. And now you need all this help. But if you were to consistently move, recalibrate, you would get that undulation, and that would be your normal. Move
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Trust these things, trusting your instincts, not letting things sit on the have to do, don't want to address for months and years and whatever, and holding you back. Just like going through things and actually experiencing all those things that are on your list, all those goals, your vision. But it looks like your picture back there is kind of like a vision board. Getting to experience all of those things, all of them, making a new one and then another new one. Like, what if you made 100 vision boards and you got every single one of them, not just, this is my vision board for life, and one day I want this, and I want this car, and then that's it, and that's my dream. Like, what if you just had a new one every month and you're plowing through these things?
Yes. I love this analogy too. I love this analogy. But it's like, I use the analogy of building a muscle, right? So it's like, if you're going to take time off, you know, and then you want to go back into the gym a year later, like, you're going to have to retrain that muscle. That muscle's not going to be as big. It's, you know, it's going to atrophy. So yeah, it's like constantly stretching that muscle.
Yes. Yeah, because the same thing, you make that a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the gym once a year does not give
make
you
it a lifestyle. Don't. Yeah, I think that's the thing, is like, you're choosing, you're making it. You're not like, I think most people are kind of settling for what life is giving them. Like, this is what I'm getting.
Most people make lemons out of lemonade versus mm-hmm. like, do you like lemonade? Do you like, is there another, did you like to have a banana stand? Would you like to, you know, like, do you want to have a zebra petting zoo? Don't just take the lemons and make lemonade, pick.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, is most people are getting stuck thinking they don't have a choice.
Yes. Yeah. I call it making roses out of diarrhea. I'm like, you're trying to make the most of your shitty situation when you could just say fuck the whole thing and just choose something else.
Yeah. I mean, that just makes me think of the Outkast song, but.
I know, now we're showing our age. I just turned 40 recently, so. These kids are like, Outkast.
I know.
Yolanda, this has been so fun. And okay, we didn't even mention there's going to be part two on your podcast.
Yes, exactly. We're going to continue this.
Will you please let everybody know where they can find you in the meantime?
Yes, of course. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I enjoyed this conversation so much. We were all over the place, but I felt like it was a good all over the place.
You just have to have those conversations with people that get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't talk to very many people who I'm like, and then this thing, they're like, yes. And then this thing, and I have that on such a
1000%.
Yeah, like interesting topic.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at Yolanda Boyarin, B-O-Y-A-R-I-N. My podcast is Manifest Mad Money and my website is manifestmadmoney.com.
Yeah. And I love your podcast. I check it out sometimes. I pop in. I like it because it's short.
Yeah. You know, like that's the manifesting generator in me. I'm like, let me get in, get out. There we go.
And here I am a projector. We're like at a half an hour and a half.
But it was a fun talk. So right. I didn't feel like, yeah, it breezed by.
Yeah. I definitely am like Lilith told me to be languid and to languish. She told me to be long and lean and like a cat and just like, you know, luxuriate because I think the world is programmed by Manny Jennies and we're all just, and I think, well, isn't the majority of people are Manny Jennies too, right? Or
the majority is generators and then manifesting generators are second.
Right. So everybody is working. And then we're all kind of like looking at this work model and saying that is what success is. And, you know, I'm still in the process of unlearning that.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, even like generators and manifesting generators are just so different. So I think it's like understanding who you are and how you operate best, you know, like that's definitely the key.
Yeah. Well, I definitely appreciate having this conversation and I'm excited for part one is actually taking place on Yolanda's podcast, Manifest Mad Money. This is part two. Make sure you check out both episodes. And again, Yolanda, thank you so much for being here. It was such a blast to have these fun conversations with you. And for everybody out there, we're all raising our vibrations together. You have the power. I believe in you. I will see you next week.